right, well, you were there in Joshua chapter number 3. Normally on Wednesday nights, we are going through the book of 2 Samuel, but I wanted to preach something a little different tonight since it is the last service in this building, and we're transitioning out of this phase of ministry and this location, and excited about what the Lord is going to do in the future. And actually, I've preached out of this passage before. Whenever we've moved from one building to another, I think I've preached out of this passage, and can't remember exactly if 3 years ago we did in the last building, but I know I have before. And you're there in Joshua chapter 3. Look down at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Before they passed over. The idea there of before they passed over, it's before they passed over the Jordan. The reason I wanted to preach out of this passage is because here the children of Israel are basically getting ready to enter into a new phase of their nation, a new phase of what's going on in their nation. For the last 400 and some odd years, they had been slaves in Egypt. They had been a nation of slaves to the Egyptians. But of course, you know the story. God sent Moses, who brought them out of the out of Egypt, and then they were in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua is now taken over. Moses has passed away, and Joshua is getting ready to lead them over the Jordan River into the promised land. And they're transitioning in this passage from a phase of their nation to a new phase, and a phase that God wants to bless. In the same way that you and I, at this point, you know, leaving this building, it's not just the building that we're leaving, but we've had quite a year here in 2016, and I don't want to go through all the story and everything. You know what's happened here, but we're getting ready to transition out of one phase of ministry into a new phase of ministry, an exciting phase of ministry. We'll have more room to be able to minister to more people and have more capacity. You're there. Look down at verse number 4 in the same chapter, Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Notice what he says. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. See, they were doing something new. They were going somewhere new. They were going to accomplish new things. And here's what I want you to understand. God desired to do great things with the children of Israel in this new phase of their nation. Look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Notice what he says. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And here you have Joshua as the leader of the nation of Israel, getting ready to transition from one phase of their nation to a new phase of their nation. And he gives them a few instructions, but the idea is this, the instructions that he's giving them is because God desires to do a wonderful work with them. And he tells them specifically, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And not only with the crossing of the Jordan, which we read, but with you know all the battles and all the might that God shows in allowing them to conquer the land. And Joshua says, hey, God wants to do something great with you. God wants to accomplish something great with you. But if God is going to do something with us tomorrow, there are some things we need to do today. And today and tonight, as the pastor of Verity Baptist Church in this last evening service here at this building, I want you to know, I want Verity Baptist Church to know that tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. And this coming week and this coming year, God desires to do something great. God desires to do something great in our church. He desires to do something great in your family. He desires to do something great in your life. But there are things that we need to do in order to prepare for the wonders that God has for us. So I want to give you just real quick three statements tonight, and I don't want to be very long tonight because we want you here tomorrow to help us move, all right? So we won't keep you late. But I want to give you three statements, if you don't mind writing these down, of things that we need to do to prepare for the Lord to do wonders among us. Look down at verse number 5 again, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. And Joshua said unto the people, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, I'd like you to underline this phrase. Notice what he says. He says, sanctify yourselves. He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify means to set apart. It means to make holy or to cleanse. See, here's what Joshua says. God wants to do wonders among you. But in order for him to do that, you have to sanctify yourself today. See, in order for God to do wonders among us tomorrow, we have to sanctify ourselves today. In order for us to use us in a great way tomorrow, we have to set ourselves apart, cleanse ourselves, and sanctify ourselves today. Keep your place there in Joshua chapter 3. That's our text for tonight. But go with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In the New Testament, if you find all the T books, they're all clustered together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Find the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. When you get there, put a bulletin or a ribbon or a bookmark there because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back in that area of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, and here's what I want you to understand. God is no respecter of persons. God wants to use Verity Baptist Church as much as he'd like to use any other church. Think of whatever great church you can think of, or whatever great pastor you can think of, or whatever great church family you can think of, and you say, wow, these people are doing a great work for God, or these people were used of God. You know, think about the Apostle Paul. Think about the early church in the book of Acts. Think about Peter, and think about James, and think about these great men that God used. And here's what I want you to understand. God is not a respecter of persons in the sense that he, you know, favored Paul more than he favored us. God would like to use us as much as he used Paul. God would like to use us as much as he used Peter. God would like to use us as much as you, as any preacher or any church that you can think of, because God is no respecter of persons. But there is a prerequisite to be used of God. There is something that God requires before he can use us, and what he requires is for us to sanctify ourselves. See, Joshua goes to the people and he says, the Lord will do wonders among us. And he says, therefore, sanctify yourselves. He said, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Look at verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:20. It says this, but in a great house, he's giving an illustration of a household. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. When he says that word vessels, what he's referring to, think about like cups and plates, you know, things that you would use to eat off. He says, in a great house, there are cups and plates and vessels, and some are gold and silver, and some are wood and earth. In your home, you probably have, you know, the fine china, right? And you bring that fine china out for a special occasion. If you have the pastor over for dinner, you bring the fine china, right? And no, you don't ever have the pastor over for dinner. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, whatever, you know, you may have certain things you use every day, right? You know, your kids eat off of, you know, these plates and that. But whenever something special is happening, you're having guests over or something like that, you have, and this, you bring out the nice plates. You bring out the nice cups. You know, the kids, you want them to use the stuff that's not as nice. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, in a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver. There are vessels of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore, notice this word, purge. The word purge means to rid, to clear, or to free something of. It means to cleanse something. If a man therefore purge himself from these, referring to the sin in their lives or the things that would make them unusable, he shall be a vessel unto honor, notice, sanctified and meet. The word meet means suitable. He says sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. See, you and I, sometimes what we like to say is we say, well, God can't use me because I'm not talented, or God can't use me because of my upbringing, or God can't use me. You know, God uses brother so-and-so, or God uses sister so-and-so. God's using that church, and God's using that ministry, but he can't use me because of this reason or that reason. But I'm here to tell you, all of that is an excuse, and all of that is a lie from the devil. The Bible says very clearly that if we were to purge ourselves, and we were to sanctify ourselves, we would become meat for the master's use. We would be suitable for the master's use. See, oftentimes God can't use you and God can't use me, because it's like if you go up to your cabinets and you open them up and you're looking for a cup because you're thirsty and you want to drink, and there's one there that's clean and then there's one there that's not clean. And you wonder yourself, how did that get up there? I should stop having the kids, you know, unload the dishwasher. You know, this one didn't even get cleaned. It's still dirty. There's still food in there or something. And I can't use that one. It's not that I prefer this glass over this glass. It's just one is suitable for the master's use. See, and if God is going to use you, and if God's going to use me, and if God's going to use this church, the first step is to sanctify ourselves. And here's what I want you to understand. I believe God will do wonders among us in the next week and month and year and 2 years. But he cannot use a dirty vessel. He cannot use an unclean vessel. Therefore, Joshua goes to the people and he says, sanctify yourselves. He says, sanctify. He says, purge. He says, cleanse yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Keep your place there in Second Timothy. We're going to come back in that area. Go back to the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua 3, but I want you to look at Joshua chapter 7. Here's what I'm trying to say. We cannot afford to have sin in the camp. If God's going to use us, he's looking for a vessel that's sanctified and meet for the master's use. And in the book of Joshua itself, there's a story and an illustration, and you're familiar with it, about how God was not able. God had to stop using the children of Israel because they allowed sin in the camp. Are you there in Joshua chapter 7? Look at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. But the children of Israel. And I want you to notice how God words this story. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, when you just read that, you think to yourself, all of the children of Israel are doing wrong. This must be like back with Aaron when they were dancing and worshiping the golden calf. He says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Notice what he says. For Achan, that's a man, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, you know the story, and I'm not going to take the time to develop it, but you know that they were not, God had told them when they took over Jericho that all of that was supposed to be presented to God as a sacrifice. They weren't supposed to take from the spoil. It was the equivalent of their tithe, their first fruit. They were going to get spoils from the rest of the cities they conquered. But Jericho, everything belonged to God. They weren't supposed to take anything from there. But Achan took several things from there, and he stole them, and he lied about it. And here's what I want you to understand. When Achan did that, it was only Achan who took of the accursed thing. But God speaks in respect, and he says, no, the entire children of Israel did it. Look down at verse number 10. I don't want to go through the whole story, so let me just give you the highlights. Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, because remember, as a result, they go to Ai. And they're supposed to go win this easy victory. But God is no longer with them. And God is no longer blessing them. And God allows them to be defeated there. And the news comes back to Joshua. And he's praying. And he's asking God, you know, why has this happened? And why are these men dead now? Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? And I always thought that was an interesting passage. Because here you have Joshua praying to God and saying, God, why is this happening? And God basically says to Joshua, why are you praying? This is no time to pray. Now, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But there is a time not to pray, and here's when. When you know what the problem is, and you just have to deal with it. See, we have to say, well, God, you know, my finances are a mess. My marriage is a mess. My children are a mess. And God's like, what are you praying about? You know what the issue is. The problem is sin. Is there sin in the camp? Look what he says. Look at verse 11. Israel hath sinned. Now, it's not Israel. It's just Achan. But God says, Israel hath sinned. And they've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they. It's not they. It's just he. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they, God, don't you mean he? No, they have put it even among their own stuff. God, don't you mean among his own stuff? No, among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they, don't you mean he? No, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And here's what I want you to understand. your sin doesn't only affect you. Amen. Your sin, you see, you're not an island. Your sin affects others. And here Achan thought, he said, he saw that Babylonian garment and he saw the things that he wanted to steal. And he tells us that he saw and he coveted and he took. And oftentimes in my life and in your life, we'll think, well, what, I'm not supposed to do this. And this goes against what God has called me to do. And God said not to do that. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. It's not going to hurt anybody. But listen to me, dads, when you sin, it affects your children. Listen to me, husbands, when you sin, it affects your wife. Listen to me, moms, when you sin, it affects your children. And when you're part of a church family, your sin can affect us. And here God says to Joshua, he says, there's sin in the camp. Achan has taken of the accursed thing. But he says, they did it. And I won't bless them. And I won't be with them. Notice verse 13. He says, up. Does this word sound familiar? Sanctify the people. He said, I can't use you. He said, I can't use you till you're clean. I can't use you till you've sanctified. I can't use you till you've purged. He says, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And here's all I'm trying to say is your sin can have an effect on this church. Because if God is going to do wonders among us, then we have to sanctify ourselves. And there are things in your life, and there are things in my life, and we may think, oh, well, that doesn't affect anybody, that doesn't hurt anybody. But listen, Achan, it hurts everyone around you. So in order to have God do wonders among us, I said number one, in order to have God do wonders among us, we must sanctify ourselves. Let me say this, number two, if you can head back to Joshua chapter 3. To sanctify ourselves, we must closely follow God's word. To sanctify ourselves, see, in order for God to do wonders among us, we have to sanctify ourselves. So then the question is, well, how do I sanctify myself? Well, here's the answer. To sanctify ourselves, we must closely follow God's word. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. And it came to pass after these things that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant, okay, now what's the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God, but it represents the Word of God. If you remember, in the Ark was the commandments of God, of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it. Then ye shall remove from your place, notice what he says, and go after it. Go after what? The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the Word of God. Notice verse 4. Yet therefore shall a space be between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. Notice what he says. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Here's what he's saying. I want you to follow the presence of God. I want you to follow the word of God. I want you to stay close enough to be able to follow it and far enough for you to be able to get directions from it. And he says, wherever it goes, I want you to go. Here's the point that he's making. To sanctify ourselves, we have to follow closely the word of God. You're there in Joshua 3. Keep your place there. Go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And I want you to look at verse number 105. I told my wife that I was going to be preaching this sermon several weeks ago for tonight, because generally when we move buildings, I preach this sermon. I preach this sermon. You can look it up if you'd like. I preached it the Sunday morning that we left the house for our first building. I preached this sermon. Brother Vincent might remember that, and Brother Ron might remember that, Brother Daryl and Miss Blanca and Miss Bila, whoever was there, unless you guys were skipping church that day, you might remember it. But I thought it was funny because we have a special guest tonight. We have Miss Imani here, who used to come to our church back when we were in the house. And I thought to myself, oh, great. We have somebody come visit from back when we were in the house, and I'm preaching a sermon from back in the house, you know. So hopefully you don't remember it. But Psalm 119, look at verse number 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. If we're going to sanctify ourselves, we need to closely follow God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 105, notice what the Bible says. Thy word is a lamp. The idea there, that it's a guide. Thy word is a lamp, notice, unto my feet. The feet there represent your direction. He says, thy word is a lamp, a guide unto my feet, direction, and a light. He just reiterates himself, and a light, that's the guide, unto my path. That's the direction. Here's what he's saying. The word of God, and it's kind of like what we were talking about a couple of Sunday mornings ago, and I won't reiterate that sermon, but it's not enough to have the light. It's not enough to have the knowledge. It's not enough to have the information. You've got to apply it. You've got to follow it. See, in order to sanctify yourself, you got to follow, closely follow God's word. That's why Joshua said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, he said, go after it. He said that you may know by which way you must go. And here's what you need to understand. To live a sanctified life, to live a separated life, it's not just enough to go to church and hear good Bible preaching. It's not just enough for you to read the Bible and read 9 chapters a day and read the Bible. You've got to actually allow it to guide you. You've got to use it as a light and as a lamp to your feet and to your path. And the idea is that you actually walk in the way that it's telling you to walk. So you can have all the information. You can have all the illustrations and understand, but it won't do anything in your life until you actually start doing it. You're there in Psalm 119. Look at verse number 9, same chapter. Notice what he says. There's this idea. The word of God is what cleanses. The word of God is what cleans us up. Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The word cleanse there means to sanctify, to purge. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Notice, how do you do it? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. See, it's the word of God that cleanses. It's the word of God that cleans you. Do you keep your place in 2 Timothy? Go back to 2 Timothy, but I need you to go backwards into the book of Ephesians. So if you're there in 2 Timothy, you're going to go back 2 and 1 Thessalonians, Colossians, Philippians into Ephesians. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, and I know I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. It doesn't matter how much we teach and preach about, you know, finances from the Bible, principles of finances. It doesn't matter how much we teach and preach about being a good husband or being a good wife or being a good parent or being a good employee. It doesn't matter how much we teach and preach about this area of your life or that area. It doesn't matter if you never actually do anything with it. You say, well, I went to church and I heard that great sermon about being a great father. Okay, when are you going to start being a great father? When are you going to start being involved? When are you going to start being engaged? Well, I went to church and I heard a sermon about submitting to my husband and loving him and reverencing him. Okay, well, you got to start doing it at some point. Otherwise, it'll never cleanse. And you say, well, I go to church, and I'm just as filthy and sinful as I ever was. Because you've got to actually follow. You've got to actually do. He says, to sanctify ourselves, we must closely follow the ark, the presence of God, the work of God. Ephesians 5, look at verse 25. Notice what he says. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And by the way, I'm not preaching on husbands tonight, but that's, you say, what does it mean to love your wife? To be able to sacrifice yourself for her. Not just enough to say, well, I love you, honey. I bought her flowers on Valentine's Day. I gave her $20 on Christmas. It's not that's not it. That's not what love is. You say, what is love? Love is this: for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten. See, love is sacrifice. You say, well, I love my wife, but I'm not willing to sacrifice anything that she needs. Well, then you don't love your wife or your husband or your children or anyone. See, the problem with us is that we get greedy, especially during Christmas time. We get real greedy. And real selfish. And this is what I want. And this is what I need. But see, love is sacrifice. And here's the thing. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Luke verse 26. That he, that's Christ, might sanctify. Do you see that word sanctify? And cleanse it. Christ wants to sanctify and cleanse who? You. Me. Verity Baptist Church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the what? See, it's not enough. It's not enough to say, well, I've got the word. Well, what are you doing with it? I've got the sermons. Well, what are you doing with it? I've got the Bible. Well, what are you doing with it? It's not enough to say, I've got the light. Then you got to allow the light to direct your path, to direct your feet, to actually change something in your life. You say, well, I know everything I'm supposed to know, but you're not doing anything about it. You're going to continue to get the same results. So here's the thing. Number one, to have God do wonders among us, we must sanctify ourselves. Number two, to sanctify ourselves, we must closely follow God's word. But let me go ahead and say this. Before you decide, well, I'm going to follow God's word closely, you need to understand this. When we closely follow God's word, we must be ready. We must be ready to, by faith, take uncertain steps. When you decide to follow God's words, then God, the first thing God's going to do is ask you to take a step. Because you say, okay, I have the light. I'm ready to take the step. And God says, okay, but here's the problem. That first step you take is going to be into uncertain territory. New territory. Territory you've never been a part of. You say, what are you talking about? Go back to Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, Joshua 3, 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest and bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, notice what he says, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, because they're supposed to be crossing the Jordan, right? When you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Hivite and the Perizzite and the Girgashite and the Amorite and the Jebusite. Look at verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, notice what he says, shall rest in the asphalt. Is that what it says? Shall rest on the cement. Is that what it says? Shall rest on sure ground. Is that what it says? No. Shall rest in the waters of Jordan. You see that? That the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon in heat. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark, notice, were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, and the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's what God says. I'm going to part the Jordan. Not really part the Jordan. I'm just going to stop the Jordan, because the Jordan was a river. It's flowing in a certain direction. He said, I'm going to stop the flow of the Jordan so the children of Israel can pass over. And Joshua, I'm sure, was thinking to himself, great, I remember Moses doing this at the Red Sea. Let me go grab a staff, and I'll just put that out there just like Moses. And God said, no, we're going to do it a little different. What do you mean, God? I want you to step out. I want you to have the priest with the Ark of the Covenant step out by faith onto uncertain waters. And when their feet hit the water, I'll part the Jordan River. And he says, wait a minute. Don't you mean you'll part the Jordan River and then our feet will hit the water? He said, no, that's not what I mean. Here's what I mean. I want you to, by faith, step out into uncertain waters. I want you to, by faith, when your feet dip into the water, that's when I'll part it. See, you and I, we want the bridge. We want to be able to see the bridge before we get to the Jordan. We want to be able to make sure, well, God, if I take the step, I'm following your word. I'm following the Ark. If I take the step, I want to make sure I know that I'm going to be okay. But listen to me. When you begin to follow the word of God and allow it to actually be the path, the light that paths your way, you have to be ready to take uncertain steps. Just the way it goes. And, you know, we deal with this in ministry all the time. And we'll have people, you know, and say, well, if I do this, then I don't know if that's going to work out. And if I take this step, I'm not sure how that's going to go. And are you sure this is going to work out? And I tell people all the time, I don't know. You just got to have faith that God's going to do it. If you follow his word, even if you're not sure how it's going to work out, you just take the step. See, we'll have people come to our church, and there'll be a husband and a wife, and they maybe both work. And I'll preach about the fact that the Bible teaches that women ought to stay home with their little ones. You know, I'm not talking about if you've got older children and they're already out of the house, you can work a job. I'm not talking about that. But the Bible says that the younger women ought to be keepers at home. They ought to raise their children in the home. And listen, God gave you those children, ladies. He didn't give them to the daycare provider. He didn't give them to the public school system. He gave them to you. And we'll teach that, and we'll prove that from the Bible, and we'll have people that'll say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, we really need that income from my wife, and she wants to quit her job, and she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, like the Bible says. But you don't understand. You know, I'm not sure how it's all gonna work out because I got all these bills." And I always tell people the same thing, and they never like my answer. We'll sell a car. We'll go live in a smaller house. We'll go live in the ghetto. You know, go do whatever you need to do to make it work. You know, but here's what I say. How's it all going to work out? And here's what I say. God wants to see you put your foot in the water before he parts that river. God wants to see you to take that and say, see, we'll have women that say, "I believe God has, the Bible teaches that we're supposed to train and educate our children at home. That's what the Bible teaches. And we've gone through that in other sermons and proven that from the Bible." And people say, "But it's just uncertain. If I take my children out of the public school and then I homeschool them, you know, how is all that going to work out?" And here's what I always tell people. Step out by faith. I'm not telling you to step out by faith for something stupid, but if God says to do it, if God says, "Follow my word," and the word leads you to an uncertain step, then you just take the step. And you just go in that direction. People will say, "You know, I began to follow the word of God, and I began to read the Bible, and I found out that God actually wants me to return back to him 10% of my income, and I haven't done that before, but I see that the Bible teaches that, and if I do that, how's it all going to work out?" I don't know. You just do it. It's uncertain. I get that. But when you begin to follow God's word, you must be ready to, by faith, take uncertain steps. For some of you, going soul winning is an uncertain step. When I knock on that door, you know, how's that going to work out? You just do it. You'll survive it. You know, I've never heard of this. Maybe, you know, it's not like the first door you knock on, it's going to be like, "Oh, hi, boss." You know, I mean, that's not usually how it works out, you know. Or, you know, "My mother-in-law lives here." You know, usually you know those things, okay? But, you know, you just say, "Well, it's uncertain. I'm scared. I'm afraid." Yeah, but when you begin to follow God's word, you just got to be ready to take uncertain steps. You know, whether it's changing the way you dress, whether it's changing your finance, whatever it is, here's all I'm telling you. And here's what I want you to understand. When we move into this new facility, Verity Baptist Church will take uncertain steps. I just want you to know that. There will be changes. I preach this, you know, whenever we're taking transitional steps, here's what you need to understand. A growing church is always in transition. A growing church is always in transition. And one of the most dangerous mindsets that our church can take and that people love to take is the mindset of, "I don't like change. You know, we've never done it that way." Steer clear from that type of thinking. You know, because people say, you know, "Brother Stuckey read the text on Wednesday night. We've never done it that way before." A growing church is always in transition. "Well, I just don't think that." Look, I'm just telling you, there used to be a time when we used to take public prayer requests. Now we do it on a communication card. There used to be a time when we used to, you know, when I used to lead all of the music. Now we have song leaders. There used to be a time when I used to read all the text. Now we have a text reader. Here's all I'm saying is there's changes that will come. And we're not talking about compromising. And we're not talking about preaching on doctrinal things. But transitions come. Things aren't always the same. The children of Israel for 40 years would go outside of their tent every day and they found manna on the ground. They transitioned into the Canaan land and that ended. Now they were expected to feed themselves. And by the way, that's a picture of maturity. When you first got saved, Lord willing, you were coming to church and Pastor Jimenez was feeding you from the manna of the Word of God. As you begin to mature, Lord willing, you're now feeding yourself at home as well. That's a picture of church. I'm just telling you, when you grow, whether it's you spiritually, whether it's this church physically, whatever it might be, however you grow, when you grow, there will be changes. A growing church and a growing Christian is always in transition. So just be ready when you closely follow God's word. You have to be ready to, by faith, take uncertain steps. Go back to verse 5. Look, notice what he says. I just want you to notice this phrase. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. I believe that. I believe that tomorrow, literally tomorrow, Thursday, the Lord will do wonders among us. I believe that Friday, the Lord will do wonders among us. I believe that on Sunday, the 25th, at the first service in our new building, the Lord desires to do wonders among us. I believe that in 2017, the Lord will do wonders among us. I believe that God wants to. He sees us right now on the other side of the Jordan, or the other side of 80, or whatever you want to call it. And he says, I'm ready to do something great with you. I'm ready to magnify you. I'm ready to use you. But listen to me. If we desire for God to do wonders among us tomorrow, we have to sanctify ourselves today. Say, how do I do that? In order to sanctify yourself, you need to closely follow the Word of God, which means you actually start walking in the direction of the Bible. But before you do that, I just want you to know, when you start following God's Word, you'll be asked to step onto uncertain places. And it may be nerve-wracking. And it may be, you know, you think, well, what's going to happen? And look, there's many times this year that I, as a pastor of this church, walked up behind this pulpit, and I hope I didn't show it too much. I tried to do my best to keep a pleasant look on my face and to smile and to preach the Word of God and to have the Holy Spirit help me. There have been many times in the last year that I've walked up to this pulpit wondering in my head, what is going to happen? But here's what I know. If you follow God's Word and you step out by faith, God will make himself real. And God will part the Jordan River. And God can do wonders among us, and he's done wonders among us, and he will continue to do so. Not just in this church, but in your life. Not just in this church, but in your family. Not just in this church, but in your finances. So let's spend the next several days preparing ourselves and our hearts and sanctifying ourselves before God and confessing and forsaking sin. And making sure that we are prepared when the will of God meets us, that we are prepared and ready to receive it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this short challenge in the Bible. And Lord, I really do believe you have wonderful things you want to do with each and every person sitting in this room. You have a plan and you have a purpose. But we have to do our part. We have to sanctify ourselves. And we have to begin to follow your word closely. Allow it to direct us. And when it directs us somewhere that we're not certain about, as long as we know we're following your word, help us to step out by faith and let you take care of the rest. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church, these dear people that would take time out of their schedules on a Wednesday night to be here. I pray that you would please bless the moving day tomorrow. Help us to have a good crowd here to help us get transitioned out of here and prepared for the weekend. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.